Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is episode lucky 13, because we have a twofer for you. Very, very excited that we have locality in the house, and we are recording, actually, during advertising week. So hopefully the quality is good as the crowds walk by.
Ann Heiler.
Yay, Keith Kazerman, hello.
How you doing?
Excellent. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do a breezy 25 minutes between the two of you. And I want to explain who the heck you are. So I think it would not be too bold to say, hello, Madam President of Broadcast at Locality.
Hello, hello. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
And Mr. President of Streaming at Locality. So we're going to get both sides of the coin today. I want to start out with a very brief explanation of what Locality is and these two sides of the coin. And I'm going to ask you for the top line.
Absolutely. We love this question. So Locality came together from formerly known as Cox Reps and formerly known as Gamut. So two sides of local solutions for video advertising. On the Locality broadcast side, we represent over 300 local broadcast television stations across well more than 150 DMAs across the country.
Okay. Keith, I'm going to ask you, please, for a little macro view. What is the state of the state of local TV advertising? Or maybe I should call it the community of communities.
You asked an important question, the state of local TV. And we define TV as TV is TV, streaming, broadcast.
It's so confusing. Let me just jump in and say that because, you know, sometimes I want to be politically correct and call it video. And is it really TV if it's streaming? TV is TV.
It's all leaned back on that big screen in your living room.
Oh, thank goodness.
The state of local TV is fantastic. As we look at content and the relevancy and recency of local news, local sports that we're living through today with return of NFL, college football, there is a uptick in viewership and engagement with the local TV that just came out this week.
Ooh, well, I'm excited about hearing that. And now let's drill down a little bit more and let's get specific.
So if you think about the solutions that advertisers and brands need in a local market, mm-hmm. in order to reach video viewership across broadcast stations, local news, sports, just like Keith articulated, but then a massive amount of opportunity across content that is available locally, mm-hmm. over 150 publishers. Those need to get aggregated together in a way that builds scale and impacts the communication goals that advertisers have in a marketplace. So we feel putting the two together in order to offer those solutions gives us just a robust way of really helping advertisers maximize that local message.
The yin-yang.
Absolutely.
Of TV advertising. Okay.
It's both together is where that power together. Really resides.
Together. Wait, there's a song there somewhere.
I'm not singing EB.
You know I sing to people, but I just can't think of what that song is right now. Feel free to break in if it comes to mind. Anyway, so on the yin side, Anne, what do you in particular do? What are you charged with at Locality?
I'm president on the broadcast side. So we have broadcast groups that we work with throughout the country, mm-hmm. that have local content that we are able to sell, mm-hmm. on their behalf. There are over 1,500 agencies we work with around the country across 11 offices. We have executed advertising campaigns for over 4,500 advertisers that know the impact that putting their message into local broadcast and streaming can do. What Keith and I do together is, what does the market need in order to have that and? If you need both, and we feel advertisers need both to reach those potential consumers, we do that in any market in the country with a message and a ability to execute that message across both.
Beautiful. And a day in the life for you, Keith, looks like what?
Yeah, the day in my life is creating that simplicity for advertisers and agencies. When we think about local and streaming specifically, it's fragmented and complex. We unify inventory, as Ann mentioned, across 150 publishers that we have direct relationships with guaranteed inventory. So in order to create that scale and that engagement with consumers within that local community, that DMA or zip code, we bring that together in a seamless way for that advertiser.
So you give the people what they want, in this case, the advertisers.
I think it's what they need.
good answer. Okay.
And if I could just add to that, I think that if you look at the broadcasters and how they are emerging their content across more than just the over-the-air signal, they are using opportunities to put their local news, and younger audiences are finding that news in streaming apps, on all of the owned and operated content ways that that local broadcast can reach consumers, even if it's not over the air.
So, Anne, you don't feel, and I have a feeling I know the answer to this, together you don't feel that it's broadcast versus streaming. It's broadcast and streaming, and that's your point of differentiation?
It is absolutely our point of differentiation. Keith and I like to use the tagline precision reach.
Uh-huh.
So I would be remiss not to talk about the impact that the one-to-many in a market has with a broadcast signal.
All right, let's go back and explain what you mean by that.
So a broadcast that happens over the air through the broadcast signal of a local affiliate or local broadcast station reaches every single person at the same time that turns that set on or turns their signal on to watch that program. And so you've got audience intelligence about what those audiences are and who's watching that content, but it's being seen by everybody at the same time. So there's your reach in a marketplace. And why local matters is that message, that local offer, that recency is to keep point of why the advertiser message matters, and that's different in Miami versus Cincinnati, but it hits everybody at the same time.
Okay.
The precision part, as I turn to Keith.
Well, that's Yang.
That's where the location comes into play, that audience target comes into play, and context comes into play, working all together to create that engagement and relevancy for that audience.
So you guys do work in tandem beautifully because you just kind of picked up and finished her sentence. I imagine you do that day in and day out?
We do.
Okay, that's excellent. It also kind of offers that opportunity for what our friend Carl Fremont calls brand and demand, or building that bridge between brand marketing and location-based marketing or performance marketing. You feel that way as well?
Yeah, when we think about national retailers, and if we look at home improvement, it's a great national brand message to build that brand, but every purchase is done locally, whether it's in a brick and mortar within that community or sitting on someone's sofa in their living room on e-commerce when they're streaming and using that secondary device. So all that purchase, into Ann's point, whether it's Miami or Cincinnati, it's a different product that's of interest in that market, and that creative needs to speak to that and needs to reach that audience based on that target and that location.
So 2 points on that. It sounds like local is cool again. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I knew you would agree.
Always was, if you
asked
me.
Well, we're the cool kids, so yes.
The cool kids are in the house. That's right. And then I want to talk about creative, but you also talked about some key verticals. You know, you mentioned news, which, of course, is very much on everyone's mind these days. And I think that that's very important for the local viewer. You know, not only are they getting emergency messaging and things like that, but they want to know things like about their local politicians. How do you see key verticals leveraging local, or which ones leverage local the most?
Thank you for articulating local news. And what has happened, all of us, with our local stations is those broadcasters, those news anchors, have been invited into our living room. They sit in our living room with us. There is a tremendous amount of trust and credibility that has come over decades of building that brand. When smart advertisers attach themselves to that credibility and to that trusted source, there's a halo effect for advertisers to be in that messaging. So to your point, from a vertical standpoint, large group franchisees, local dealer groups that have an incentive message that happens that's different in Cincinnati versus Los Angeles. But more importantly, those advertisers know a lot about their consumers and their potential customers in every single market. While it might be a national brand, the purchase is local and the intel about that customer is local. So when you reach them with something that matters in that market to that purchase, it has far greater impact in our belief and in the data, it has greater impact to what the outcome is.
You know, and not to be too philosophical about this, but my last episode was with Lou Pascalis, who is a huge evangelizer for investing in the news media. And I'm just spitballing here, but it seems to me that perhaps the deficit of local newspapers is an advantage for you if you're offering up news from the local communities, which has to be trusted, as you said, Anne, because they've been, you know, in their market for so long. I hope that you're finding a resurgence of investment in the news media as well. What about sports? I also heard that a lot of the franchises are investing in their local stations as well. Is that a big category?
Sports is an enormously huge category. And oh, by the way, the Lions are 5-1.
I knew she'd have to get that in there. We'll go down that personal path in a second. Hint.
Yeah. But look, from a sports standpoint, local sports is the end-all be-all. Whether it is local high school sports and you've got Friday Night Lights happening with some of our independent stations, or that NFL programming, and to Keith's point, we've seen an increase in viewership as we headed into September because of the increase in news and the increase in sports. But there is nothing like live. Live is sports.
Live is sports, but now we have some issues. This is another two-parter, Keith. I want to ask you about things like measurement and streaming. I know that we're challenged by that because in streaming local, we're not always watching it live. We're watching it a little bit more on demand and on different platforms. So the two-parter is, what are you finding with measurement these days? And what are the key things that people are watching streamed locally?
So one comment about how you set that up. I like to think about streaming viewership as prime time is all the time. Whenever that audience chooses to engage with content is their prime time, whether that's in the afternoon, during traditional prime time hours, or overnight. From a measurement standpoint, you know, the granularity of what digital can deliver from return path data is so important. And as Anne mentioned, from a retailer perspective, understanding what consumers are purchasing in various DMAs, regions, helps inform post-campaigns and campaigns coming in you know, other quarters. From measurement, and I'll take the step towards currency, that's an area where we are very focused. You know, we feel we need to lead, given our size and scale across broadcast and streaming, to move the industry forward. You know, we're very encouraged that National, over the last few years, has worked really hard, collaboratory across all sides of the desk, agencies, advertisers, and sales publishers, to bring together standardization. Mm-hmm. And that's an area where we as an industry need to move that together. We are part of CIM, Coalition for Innovation and Media Measurement. We're working with broadcast partners, publishers, to move that forward. It will break down hurdles, especially from the buy side, to create consistency and standardization, which will only empower local investment more, which is what we're built for, is to unlock that power of local and that investment in local advertising.
So that kind of brings me back to that question about creative, because here at Advertising Week, which we just finished up, we heard a lot about content and context. And I think that back in the day, local advertising had kind of a black eye, you know, maybe a little cheesy, what have you. How are we enabling better quality advertising and messaging for, you know, the localer advertiser?
Yeah, so the larger brands have learned from history, you know, looking at early days of streaming and addressable TV, the message needs to meet that audience to create that relevancy. They are looking at and producing great creative across the board. To your point, doesn't happen as often as it should. So we have leaned into AI partners to help bring a solution to create creative that meets what that business objective is, that on a close to real-time basis, we can create messaging within their brand environment of that 30-second commercial to drive that behavior, whether it's a location or a specific offer that that advertiser has in market.
Locality is hands-on helping directly.
Correct.
With that. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So back in the day, one might have called it commercial completion, the last 10 seconds of a 30-second commercial. And that is where national brands have the best opportunity. And as technology and efficiencies have advanced, the opportunity to commercial complete that message with the local incentive, the local deal, the local locations adds credibility to why you're running that message in that local market.
Any ROAS, as they say, stories you can share?
Across the board, when we are looking at creative, and consumers are smart. They understand when someone is actually speaking to them in a relevant message. We see brand lifts, we see foot traffic increase by double digits, and has a really positive impact on that return on ad spend.
Well, I think that foot traffic is actually a kind of big deal, because I heard you speak at the Synopsys Big TV conference, and then I had the pleasure of speaking with both of you in a report for Synopsys, and you talked about the fact that, you know, people are living and buying and shopping locally, and also the pandemic got us in the habit of staying close to home. So has that been an advantage for you?
I think it's an advantage for everyone. If you think about Target, and Target has put local products into their stores. You think about...
You mean from local businesses, populating their shelves with...
Shelves. If you think about the opportunity to target a message, I think I might have given an example of how irritating were the back-to-school commercials when you're sitting in the north that started running in July and you knew you still had a month to go before you had to go back to school after Labor Day.
Yeah.
So let's take the opportunity to hit the right people at the right time from a recency standpoint to meet them when they're ready to purchase. And they will, for the most part, make that purchase locally.
Excellent.
And just to add to that, from an advertiser perspective, their bottom line is the most important. So for us to eliminate waste helps answer that question. So why advertise in early June, July in the Northeast for back to school?
Yeah.
So as we look at tentpoles, they're not all created equally across the country. And that's what we're focused on all the time.
And with your creative support, you can do versioning and you can swap things out more quickly and easily. Got it. I want to go back to some categories because I think that this might be a biggie. How are you feeling about political? And I don't mean about the politicians themselves, but... this must be a great boon for politicians to have local impact.
So talk about a case study.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's.
It is the ultimate one-day sale. And if you look at the $11 billion that is going to be spent next year, almost all of it locally. Yes, we have national campaigns, but it happens with local precincts, local votes, votes that happen in swing states, votes that happen for Senate and U.S. Senate and your local senators. And the beauty of helping our both core advertisers and our political advertisers is across that and of broadcast and streaming. We can navigate through the highs and lows of what's going to happen next year for the political spend, and the politicians know how impactful local advertising is. What a beautiful way to show retail advertisers the same opportunity.
Excellent. So let's get into the personal, as we threatened. I know that people buy from people they like, and I know Ann really likes the Detroit Lions. Keith, you're a little bit more of a, like, under-the-radar guy. So what are your hobbies? Football,
We talk about sports, I am a Bostonian. So I am a diehard Bruins, Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox. So right now I'm looking forward to Celtics, given where the Patriots are this year. But we had a great run.
Okay. And what else? Knitting. I'm a swing dancer. What about you guys?
It's travel, which is very helpful these days with what I'm doing at Locality. It is. It's really interesting to go to different cities in the country, across the world. But obviously, since COVID, a lot of the travel has been in the U.S. And it's great to go to a rodeo in Arizona.
Really?
It's a different crowd. You can see different cars. It's just community.
Yeah.
And you can feel that as you go around the country.
It's a great example. You know, something that I ask all of my season two guests is about purpose. And I think that there's nothing that speaks about the value of community like local. But is there a way for you to help brands express brand purpose through Locality? And any opinions or thoughts or examples of how you've participated either corporately or individually through corporate social responsibility or your own cause marketing?
I think that's a really interesting question. I spoke earlier that brands know more about their customers and the issues that matter to their customers. And their brand identity and their social responsibility is more important than ever before. And from a leadership perspective and what we do at Locality, we're building our own personal brands through our careers.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of the opportunity to work with Keith and work with the people at Locality, I am so proud of our DE&I initiatives. I am so proud of our mentorship. I am buoyed by the fact that leadership doesn't just look like Keith and I. Leadership looks like your coworker or your team member and leaning into the things that matter to us as a community, but also to us as the social responsibility we have to do what we do with our broadcasters and our streaming partners too.
Excellent.
Yeah, similarly, which ironically we think alike, I gravitated towards back to our company and thinking about change management, and that was a big buzzword. We're in change management every day, and it's everybody's day job. Our mentorship program is really enabling our new employees, kind of mid-career employees, on how to manage their day every day, from business to personal to prioritization. And that gives me the greatest kind of comfort at night, as we're working with very large teams through change in our media industry, through what's happening around us in the world and in our communities. It's very fulfilling.
Beautiful. That really speaks to the quality of the environment. It's so great to deal with two executives who are on the same page. It's rare in our industry these days. Just as a kind of a final question, is there anybody along the way that either mentored you, or is there anything that you would advise to the next generation coming up who wants to get into this industry?
You know, go ahead, Keith.
See how nice they get along.
We do. Now, there's something that's resonated with me for a very long time, and it's just a one-liner. Respect all, fear none. So, you know,
Respect all, fear none?
Correct. Huh. So, you know, given either a corporate environment and a boardroom, there's just mutual respect. And if you provide respect, you will be respected. And as we navigate through business and this example, be fearless and persevere and just move forward.
Beautiful. Anne, last word?
I would say find your champions. And that doesn't necessarily have to be your direct line, your direct boss. I talk a lot about reverse mentorship. I was the mentee in our last mentorship program and so grateful for a new career individual who spent a lot of time teaching me more about Keith's world. And so you can find your champions and find your community everywhere. And thank you for saying the respect piece too, because that's at the end of the day, when we put our heads on the pillow at night, that's what it's really about.
Beautiful. Well, I swear I did not know you were going to say that, but you teed me up perfectly for the ending song. You are the champions, my friends. Anne Haler, Keith Kazerman, I've left you speechless, I know.
Thank you, Maybe. Appreciate it
very much. I won't sing along, but we'll save that for karaoke later. But
Thank you for joining us so much, EB. Thank you. Insider interviews.
Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.